And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Really looking forward to today, and I pray that you are as well. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening. WWBC is where you can find us at 10:30 of a morning. That's 1510 a.m. And there are some transmitter frequencies over on the FM dial. You can find us also at 10:30 on some of the FM dials. In fact, let's see, 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. Those are written behind me, so I was able to turn around and look there. So each one of those impacts a different part of the county, so you can find us if you look for us there. And if you happen to miss that, you can go to WMIE. You can listen on demand. If you have the TuneIn radio app, you can find WMIE on there as well, and that lets you listen live. So even if you're in a different part of the country, if you're out of Brevard County and you tune in while you're away, you can still get your refreshing time in the Word of God the same time you would as if you were here. So would like to take just a moment to invite you out to our services. We are coming up on Resurrection Sunday. That is not going to be this Sunday. It's still a little over a week away, so the Passion Week. So this Sunday will be Palm Sunday, the following Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and then we've got the Spring Offering that will be coming up shortly after that here on WMIE. So a lot of things going on, but one of the things that is very, very important in people's lives is if they can get to the house of God. And Brevard County is a huge county, geographically speaking. It is a very long county. So you may live in a part of county where you're not going to be able to attend Merritt Assembly of God, but I hope that you will find a Bible preaching church where the love of God exists and that the Word of God is held to the highest standard. Find some place that you can worship, that you can fellowship, that you can get to know one another, and that you can serve God to the fullest of your ability. The Bible says that God determines the places and the boundaries of where we are to live. So one of the things that we pray for our visitors is that God will lead them to where he strategically wants them to thrive and serve and in a local community of believers. So I pray that you will find that. If it happens to be Merritt Assembly of God, I would be thrilled to meet you. I'm honored to serve alongside of you as we are blessing God, blessing our family, blessing our church, blessing our community. We would be honored if you'd join us in that endeavor. Today we are going to start reading in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7, and we'll read on down to verse number 11 is where we're going to begin, or is where we'll stop the initial reading. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not know God, for God is love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We're going to stop reading there for just a moment. So yesterday's program, we were talking about he who, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Everyone. It's a universal characteristic of those people who are born again, that they love and know God, that they've been born again. Consequently, everyone who does not love is testifying that they do not know God the way God is to be known. For God is love. Okay? Love isn't God. God is love. There are many people who have flipped that equation around to where they deem that love is God, and so they spend their entire time searching for love, when in actuality, love is what flows from God. But we need to understand that God is the one who is to be worshiped. So if you're just searching for someone to love you, if that search begins any place other than God, you are going to be seriously disappointed, because whatever is labeled love, you know, society has released an all-out assault trying to redefine love outside of God's definition, and that's never going to result in the fulfillment, the satisfaction, or the transforming nature of our being that we are supposed to have. So you will see that people who are redefining, they actually have a very aggressive and hateful attitude towards anybody who doesn't agree with their new definition. So let's look at verse number 9. In this the love of God was manifested. Okay? So love is active. Love is to be seen. Love is to be expressed. And the expression, the manifestation of God's love is that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. So John 3:16 never deviates from the nature of God. God the Father sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we might have everlasting life is the great manifestation of the love of God. That it's something that we recognize, but it is even for the benefit of the world. They just need their eyes opened. They just need their spiritual eyes to see the manifestation of God's love, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Can I talk about that just a minute? We in America, we do not have a draft. If you're a male over 18, you have to register for selective service, but we actually have that suspended at this point in time. Our armed forces are volunteer enlistments. And if you've ever been the parent of a person who enlisted, you realize that that could be a very, very costly commitment. So you know that they're going to be put through things that are going to be very difficult. You know that during the process of their being broken down so that they can be built up, that there are going to be things that are said, things that are done that are going to be very difficult for a parent to stand by and watch that happen. You know, at any given point in time, that the check that they have signed that said, I am willing to defend my country up to and including my personal physical existence, you realize that it's a very serious thing. And you pray that the ultimate sacrifice isn't necessary, although there are many people who do make the ultimate sacrifice. If you see a person that served in the military, thank them for their service. It's just a few words, but not only did that person enlist and serve, but their family also made sacrifices and served. And so a parent is constantly praying that their child will come home. The difference between a parent's love and the Heavenly Father's love is the Heavenly Father knew, Jesus knew, the Holy Spirit knew that Jesus was definitely going to be abused, definitely going to be beaten, be persecuted, be mocked, be scorned, be crucified, be treated dishonorably, going to be an object of ridicule, and the sin of the entire world was going to be laid upon him. And the Father sent him anyway so that we could live through Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Okay? And so I want to tell you that great manifestation of God's love was not just say, well, maybe we'll provide an alternative means and so we'll send Jesus. No, Jesus was sent because the only way to access eternal life and reconciliation with the Father was through the sacrifice of the perfect Son of God, one in whom was no sin. So, that sacrifice, that mission that Jesus was sent on, was so that we could live. In verse number 10, it says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." So we see here that love was something that was initiated by God. I want to pause for just a moment, because the world tells you that God is this mean, angry, hateful individual that just can't wait to send people into an eternal darkness filled with misery and suffering and all that. And actuality, because God knows that an eternity filled with misery and darkness and pain and suffering exists, but he doesn't want it to be your future. He loved you. So he's not passively waiting for you to mess up and he says, that's it. He's actively loving by sending his son Jesus. He's the one who initiated, because of his love, the process of redemption. That's how much he loves you. I have a friend of mine. He grew up in a pastor's household. It's a person I know. And he ministered at Merit Assembly of God decades ago. And most of the messages I've heard, I don't remember. Some things I remember, and I don't know why. Others, because I remember them because of how impactful it was. And this particular minister, who had grown up in a minister's household, described how that he was not always meeting the expectations of his parents. And I don't remember what he said that he had done, but it was not the first time that he had ever disobeyed in this certain arena. And he was used to getting disciplined. He was used to getting corrected. He's older than I am. And so that would have meant that there was something that made sitting a little uncomfortable at times. And this time when he disobeyed, his father came in. He said, his father said, go into the room. I'll be in there in just a moment. And when he got in there, he said, son, I have failed you. I have failed in getting you to understand how essential obedience is. And every time you've done this in the past, I've corrected you, I've disciplined you, and it hasn't resulted in transformation of your behavior. And so it's become clear to me that I have failed you. And so I am not in here to give you a spanking. I am in here for you to give me a spanking. And it wasn't optional. The father insisted. And the son wept as he spanked his father for something that the son had done. And you might listen to that and say, that's crazy. But you know, that is one of the most vivid pictures of what happened to Jesus. Jesus had not sinned, did not sin, will ever have sinned. And he went to the cross to pay the price for our sin because he loves us. And he wanted to deliver us from whatever sin was manifesting because of our sin nature. It was a stronghold, and he wanted us set free from that. And it goes on here, and there's a very difficult word. It's a very spiritual word. So, and it says, and he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. And I want you to know that what that means is that he sent his son, Jesus, to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin. You see that word again in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 2. It's the only other place it's used. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Jesus shed his blood and died upon the cross to atone for our sins. He paid the price for something he did not do. Here, a week from today, we're going to be celebrating Good Friday. It's the day an innocent man died so a guilty world could be forgiven. You will never, ever find anyone who loves you to that extent, other than Jesus. You know, I had a person tell me one time, they were describing the animosity between two people, and they said that one person wouldn't cross the street to spit on another person if they were on fire. It's like, wow, never heard that before. That's pretty graphic. And I can tell you that Jesus left glory, came to earth, lived in very, very humble circumstances, lived in the midst of a bunch of people who said they loved God but hated his son. And then they crucified him so that your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world could be forgiven. Verse number 11, because God loved us, we also ought to love one another. A lot of times we decide whether or not we're going to love one another because of their actions towards us. We need to reshift our focus where the way that we love others is not how they treated us, but a reflection of how Jesus has loved us. We ought to love one another. It's a commandment. We should love one another. Verse number 12, we start seeing some of the evidence, and so I've got written down here a few things. We'll get to some of them today and some of them next week. Exhibit A, verse number 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. So, if we love one another, what is the evidence of us loving one another? Is it because we like each other? We hang around one another? Is it anything like that? No, it says here, if we love one another, it's really evidence that God abides in us. And his love has been perfected in us. It is doing a work in us. It is completing us. His love has been perfected in us. It's had its complete work. When we're abiding in God and God's love has had its complete process or its task accomplished in us, the evidence of that is we are going to love one another. Jesus said this, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. It is impossible to abide in God and not love Christians. It's impossible to abide in God and not love those that Jesus has redeemed. And it's impossible to abide in God and God's love be completed in us and us not love those that Jesus is still in the process of redeeming. So one of the things I say about the fruit of the Spirit, is love. And it goes on in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patient or gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Whenever I am operating inadequately in manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, many times we think it's a problem with those around us. But what I have come to realize is if everybody is getting on my nerves, you say, oh, that never happened. Never comes frequently. if everybody is, you know, abrasive, you know, I'm bristling at what I've actually come to realize is that my response to that is that I need to spend more time with God the Holy Spirit, because I'm not manifesting divine love even towards the unlovable. And a lot of times people don't even manifest the love of God towards those that they that should be lovable. So the evidence that we have God abiding in us and his love has been perfected in us is that we love one another. Let's see if we can get one more in here. Verse number 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And so there, the exhibit B is the giving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who points us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit who reminds us of the teachings of Jesus. The Holy Spirit who comes to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit who comes to convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit who we are supposed to walk with and journey with and keep in step with. The Holy Spirit who is interceding for us in accordance with the perfect will of God. The Holy Spirit who moves people with divine messages that have been recorded in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit who brings things back to our remembrance. That's exhibit B, that we abide in God and he is abiding in us. So the God, the Holy Spirit, really, you know, just the way that Jesus was attacked and misunderstood during his earthly ministry, the Holy Spirit gets kind of a bad rap because he's misunderstood in his ministry. Jesus said, "It is expedient for you to go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come." The Holy Spirit is not limited one place, one person at one time, the way that Jesus' earthly ministry was. The Holy Spirit resides inside of us, and there are it. Okay, this is how I'm going to end today. He doesn't just cause the fruit of the Spirit to come, but 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit of God that are meant to be in operation in the local church and in the life of believers. The Holy Spirit is the seal. It's the giving of the Holy Spirit that is evidence that we're abiding in him and God is abiding in us. And I pray today that you will thrive in your relationship with God. Let's abide in Christ and abide in him. See you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Whale and Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whale and Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get